Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. Here it is once again, Wednesday night. And this is Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's a pleasure to be back with you. And it is my prayer that you had a wonderful week. I pray that everything you desired and everything went the way you planned for it to go. Well, tonight, we're going to study the Word of God. But before we do that, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the author and the finisher of our faith, dear God, we come to your throne of grace, asking you to have mercy on each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your way. I thank you for allowing us to come here tonight. I thank you for this opportunity, dear God. And I thank each and every person that came, that calls in, dear God. I pray that you illuminate the word tonight and the Holy Ghost have his way. I submit, dear God, unto you. I decrease as you increase. I pray that each caller be lifted up with the word of God, not by Diane, but what the word is saying. And the Holy Ghost give it to you where you could understand it and use it for your life. I am so grateful and honored to be with you, dear God, because it's this our time together. And I'm going to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to thank each and every one of you for calling. And I have I'm going to call him a guest star on tonight. I'm looking at the board and several callers are coming in, and I thank God for each and every one of you. But I also see a number that is very noticeable to me, and it's my grandson, Madison. Many of you, you know, may be familiar with Madison, but Madison is joining us tonight. I want y'all to forgive me because it seems like I'm getting a cold, so that's what you may hear in the sounds. But I'm still grateful and glad to be with you on tonight. And since Madison is here tonight, Madison, I'm going to open your mic, and it is open right now, and you could say whatever God is leading you to say to the people tonight.
God, thank you for this day that every Wednesday people show up on Blog Talk Radio and listen to my grandmother talk about God. And when they listen, they're getting more knowledge, bringing us closer and closer and closer to God. And God, let all of them sleep with good dreams. Don't let the devil harm them in their sleep or let anything harm them in their sleep. Please, and let my grandma get over the cold that she is about to get. Please be with her. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, Madison, I just want to say thank you. And I want to know if you want to say anything else about God right at this time. And you don't have to. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but if you would like to, you may do it.
God is wonderful. He created us. He created everything and tried to make us equal. And we might not be perfect, but he sent his son down so we could spend eternal life with him. So when we're in eternal life, we won't sin or anything. We'll be happy. God will give us anything we want. It'll just be like back then with Adam and Eve. They got to eat every fruit that they wanted except from the tree of good and evil.
Well, Madison, I thank you for them words of wisdom on tonight. And I pray that God continue to use you, bless you, and that you have favor in your life. Thank you, Madison, so much for calling in. I love you so much. And keep learning the word of God because it will make the difference in your life. Thank you, Madison.
Welcome.
And the Bible says, out of the mouths of babes, that's Madison Chambers, my grandson, really my only grandson, and he's 10 years old. And he loved the Lord. But as always, I just want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to call in to Inspirational Wednesday Night, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. I want you to know that the Word of God for tonight, the theme is, there is no wrong way to do right. There is no right way to do wrong. I'm going to say it again. There is no right way to do wrong. And the scripture is going to come out of the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be in the book of Proverbs in the 21st chapter, for those who have their Bible. And we're going to go all the way through the first and second verse. So if you have your Bibles, we will be in Proverbs, the 21st chapter, verses 1 and 2. And the topic for the night is, there is no right way to do wrong. As always, I like to give you some background. And since we're in the book of Proverbs, and the Proverbs was written by Solomon, but I wanted to give the background on the book of Proverbs, so I'm going to give it both ways tonight. And here we go with the lesson. The author of the book of Proverbs was King Solomon. You see, Solomon was a king, and during his reign as king, that's when Israel reached its pinnacle, spiritual, political, culturally, and economically. You see, that's when Solomon was king. You see, when Solomon was king, Israel's reputation soared, and Solomon became well known through all nations. You see, the children of Israel is a nation, and it's the nation that God chose to be his nation. But you need to know the children of Israel wasn't the only nation at that time. There were several nations, and they were only one, but God chose them to be his nation. You see, when Solomon was king, foreigners and all of the dignitaries from all over traveled great distance to hear him speak. You see, Solomon was the richest and the wisest man to ever live. And when they say to ever live, that means no man will ever be wiser than Solomon, and no one will be richer till this day. When you see that in the Bible, they're usually telling you that it still stands, even as of this day. You see, Solomon was wise because God asked Solomon when he was king, and Solomon prayed. God told Solomon he could ask for whatever he wanted. And Solomon told God, give me wisdom so that I could be a good king and rule over your people. After being asked you could get, ask whatever you want, that was so deep that that's what Solomon asked for. And God found favor in it. And he told Solomon, since you asked for wisdom to be able to rule your people, I'm going to also give you wealth and riches along with that. So Solomon became the wisest and a rich man to even live. You see, and even though Solomon was the wisest man and had more wisdom than everybody, if you really study the life of Solomon, you will discover his failures. You know, I visited the book of Solomon, and I began to read, and I understood his failures, and I understood what they were, and yet he was the wisest man. You know, the reason I went into the book of Solomon, not tonight, but sometime in my past, because, you know, the wisdom is given by God, and if you pray for it, you will receive it. And I believe that I have wisdom. I'm not saying I'm the smartest person, but I know that God's wisdom has been bestowed on me. Everybody should have wisdom, because if you want wisdom and you ask for wisdom, you have it. So I'm not boasting or saying it's more than what you have or anything like that. But if you've been praying and asking God for wisdom, you got to believe that you have it. So I'm speaking about that in that aspect. But, you know, even though I believe I'm wise, sometimes I can do foolish things. And I asked God, well, how can I have wisdom and, you know, make mistakes and do foolish things? And I was led to the book of Solomon, since he was the wisest and the richest. And as I read, even though he was the wisest man to ever live, even to this day, I saw some failures and shortcoming in Solomon. So I understood, and I came up with the conclusion that even the wisest man can do foolish things. You see, Solomon had multiple wives, which were accumulated by him. And it was the result of many marital alliances that he thought with surrounding cities, nations, and kingdoms. You see, Solomon thought by marrying all of these people, he would have allies with the other nation. And maybe they not have, he could have a relationship with them because he had to marry one of them. And maybe he wouldn't have to go to war. And he thought all of this would be good and it would help. You see, Solomon thought that it would help an area in several areas, and it would give him political advantage rather than just doing what was right. You see, when he did this, he thought he was doing the right thing. But there is no excuses for breaking the explicit commands of God. You see, God had commanded him not to marry foreign women who served other gods. See, God is wise, and he know a man can get weak for a woman. And when God say don't have these interracial marriages that some diehards have now, to say whites and blacks being married, or white and Asian, or the different foreign, you know, different people married under people, when he said that, he wasn't talking about, you know, a white or black or Hispanic and whatever. He was saying these women was from other nations, and they had so many different idol gods. And the reason he said it was that if he get with a woman and a woman can change his mind, he might fall in their traps. And he served God, and God was good to him, and he owed everything to God, and he worshiped God. But, you know, a man, if they, you know, would get weak, may start doing other things, and that's what happened. You know, Solomon started letting them bring their God in the temple and start doing things that they do with their God, and it was his failing point. You see, Solomon might have tried to justify this action by saying it was a means to fill God's promise to raise up the kingdom of David. Because, you see, God told him he's going to rise up and he wants the kingdom to be great. And Solomon thought that doing this and using that would make the kingdom greater, you see. But that's what he may have thought. But you see, Solomon may have tried to justify his action by saying it was a means of fulfilling God's promise to raise up the kingdom of David. But it's never right to do wrong. And you see, Solomon may have thought he was really doing something good and he had good intentions. But sometimes good intentions placed in the wrong way winds up not so good. You know, people always have good intentions, and it could be doing something wrong or going against something or not even appropriate at the time. So we have to watch it, because you got to remember there's no right way to do wrong. And a little tidbit on the book of Proverbs. You see, Proverbs are a collection of wise sayings that, although they are written, they were written in ancient times, their principles are for all man in every age and every walk of life, here, now, and even then. The ultimate message in the book of Proverbs is that fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is no greater principle that was taught by both David and Solomon than acknowledging God's presence in every area of your life and taking heed to everything he says. You know, that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. You see, the promise in the book of Proverbs is that those who choose wisdom and follow God will be blessed in numbers of ways. For those who have your pencil and everything, part of Proverbs, if you want a long life, you look at Proverbs 9 and 11. If prosperity is what you're seeking right now, you could go to the book of Proverbs and use chapter 2, 20 through 22. If you need your joy restored or you're looking how to have joy, you go to Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. And for the goodness of God, it's always to look and refresh yourself with the word of God of how God, good God is. You could go to Proverbs 12 and 21. Proverbs also state emphatically that those who reject Christ and God, on the other hand, and don't do these things that God has commanded us to do, they will suffer shame and eventually death, physical death. Not physical debt, I meant to say eternal debt. I didn't mean to say that either. Help me, y'all. Those who do that, they will suffer shame and have spiritual debt. You know, you won't have a good relationship with God. You know, the word of God won't help you because you're not dealing with it. But you have to you know, those who reject him, they're going to suffer these things. You see, to reject God is to choose folly over wisdom and is to separate ourselves from God, his word, his wisdom, and his blessing. That's what happens when we reject God. And some of us haven't rejected God as a total, but when we do things like not communicate with God, not pray with God, not have a good relationship, don't visit God on a daily basis, it's just like rejecting. So we have to remember what we do. And you see, knowledge is nothing more than the accumulation of raw facts. But wisdom is the ability to see people. This was real good. I'm going to start all over. Excuse y'all. Knowledge is nothing more than accumulation of raw facts. But wisdom is the ability to see people, events, and situation as God see them. God give you wisdom so you can know the mind of God. You could see events and situation as God see them. You know, the book of Proverbs, they have preplex to common sayings. They have ordinary sayings, everyday situations as well. There's so many topics. There is no topic that has not been discussed in the book of Proverbs. No matter what your question is, you can find the answer in Proverbs. I suggest that you read it, that you hold on to it, because for every situation, there's an answer in the book of Proverbs. So write those scriptures down and just visit the book of Proverbs. And I want to let you know the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament, is written by King Solomon. Proverbs is the how-to-do book for common sense and wisdom. You have to read and obey it, and I guarantee you, because the word of God said, I'm not prophesizing, you will have success in your life. Read, listen, and don't just hear it, but become a doer. And we're going to go into the scripture tonight. We're in the book of Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the first and second verse. And I'm with the first verse right now. When I read this scripture, it didn't seem like too much for me to talk upon tonight. But as I pondered on it and looked at it and understood what it was saying, it was music to my ears. But the scripture says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whatsoever way he will. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turn it whatsoever he wills. You see, this verse is letting us know that God is in total control of everything. before the foundation of the world and all through eternity. You see, when this scripture was written, it was in ancient time. So I was letting you know that in ancient time, God was in control of kings and all political powers. But today, God is still in control of all political policies. Political policies and powers. Believe me. But, you know, it may be hard to believe that because everything is going so wrong and everything is upside down and men is doing what they want to do and it seems that there is no justice. But I want to let you know that it may not look like or feel like he is in control, but I'm here to tell you tonight he is. You see, God will have the last word in all matters of life in this world and the world to come. It is never over until God says it's over. You see, as Christians, we need to be praising God more. Because the Bible, you see, we need to thank God for Jesus Christ. Because as a Christian, we live in this world, but we are not a part of this world. The Bible tells us that all the time, this is not our home. Our hope is in eternity and where Jesus is going to bring us. Come on now. When he come and he raptures us up. You see, nothing happened unless God say so. You see, he said the heart of every king. And what he was saying was, and all that is in it, his thoughts, and you say the king, then let's say the president, let's say the city council, let's say the police chief. He's talking about the leaders. He said the heart of every king, and let's say leaders, are all in his hands. And what he's saying, not just their heart, but their thoughts, their counsel, their purpose, and the design is in God's hands. He's telling you, I got that. You know, I know the heart of man. I'm in control. You see, if we go back to the old time and we look at a example of a heart of a bad king, most of you, I'm sure, know the story of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, and he had the children of Israel as slaves. And when God got ready to have his people freed, and he sent Moses, and he told him to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But if you read about that, you will see that the Lord hardened and softened his heart whenever he got ready. Read the facts. God is truly in control. And you see the heart of a good king, David. You see, Israel didn't have a king, and they wanted a king. And they, you know, they chose Saul to be their king, and Saul was a bad king. And God didn't want him to have a king because he said, I'm the king of kings. I'm their king. But the people had seen kings in other nations, and, you know, soon somebody sees something, they want something. You know, they think the grass is always green on the other side, and they had a itching for a scratch to have a king, and they wanted Saul. And you see, nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allowed. He didn't orchestrate for Saul to be the king, but he allowed it. So God say you want the king, he allowed it to happen. God knew that Saul wouldn't be good for him, and he wouldn't be good to him. But he allowed them to have it because of their desires. And sometimes God will do that to you. You see, that's why they tell us we got to watch what we pray for. We got to watch what we go to God for. We should line it all up in the word with the word of God, and we won't have no failures. But if you don't know the word of God and you go to God in prayer, you could be praying for something. First of all, that don't make sense. Second of all, it might not line up. And third of all, you know, it's just outrageous. But the people cried and cried, and God gave them a king, and of course it all failed. Because that was their choice. But since they hadn't got a king, and God was going to use the same thing in the same system, because he probably knew they wasn't going to be satisfied unless they get a next king. But God said, the next king, I'm going to sign who it is. So God chose David at the age of 12 while he was working and sleeping with his sheep. And God anointed him, appointed, and he became one of the greatest kings of Israel because God was on his side. You see, and then David had a son with Bathsheba whose name was Solomon, and the temple and, you know, the Babylonians, well, they was under siege, and they had been kicked out of Jerusalem, if y'all didn't know that, and God allowed it for so long, and they had become slaves in Babylonian, and the temple was destroyed. that Solomon had built, because they wanted Solomon built the temple, and it was destroyed. And they was captured by the Babylonian, and then there was the king Cyrus. Cyrus was a king, and he wasn't even a child of God, but God touched his heart. See, God saying the hearts of man, your heart, my heart, the king heart, the president heart, is in God's hand, and God can do whatever he wants. So Cyrus wasn't even a child of God. He didn't believe in God. He was a king, and God used him to find favor. And after Solomon's temple that he had built so luxurious and so beautiful was torn down, and they was taken out of Egypt by the Babylonians, the king of Babylonia was Cyrus, and God changed his heart, and he softened it. His heart to allow the children of Israel to change to Jerusalem to build a temple. God does what he wants. When we could really get our head wrapped around that, we could have the beginning of knowledge, and we could begin to walk in the things that God have designed and orchestrated for our lives. You know, I heard a sermon the other day about opportunities. God is affording opportunities in every areas of our lives, but we are not maybe walking into them because we can't recognize that they're there. You see, God will use everything that he created for his glory. You see, God rules the hearts of the river. You know, the other part of this scripture said, as the rivers. God rules the heart as rivers of water. When you look at rivers of water, they flow with many forces and directions, but God is in total control, and he turns it wherever he so pleases. You see, when you take a scripture like this, and those who have your Bible, and I'll read it again, the scripture said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turned it whatsoever he will. What is saying? God controls our heart. God controls everything. And he's used the example of rivers of water. So when you read this and it don't seem like it makes sense to you, you have to think about a river and the waters. You know, river come with different forces. They go in all kind of directions. Sometimes they go up high on the banks and some they do all kind of things. But he said he got it as rivers of water. But God keep the water in the rivers. You understand? The seas and the oceans for the most part. Because he controlled it. He controlled it. And he used rivers to show you that they go in all kind of direction, but God controlled them. You know, it would be amazing if even Lake Pontchartrain, you know, sometimes we have a little overflow from Lake Pontchartrain, but it would be something else if God wasn't controlling it and Lake Pontchartrain could jump out the lake and then come on the water. If you think there could ever be a flood, it would be amazing. But God controls the water, the rivers of waters. He controls it. But he's saying just like those rivers of water might flow and go up and downstream and back and do all of these things, I control that, but I also control the heart of man. You see, this world is controlled by the influence of the prince of the air, which is Satan. You see, God allowed him limited power. Last week I said that the world is being ruled by the ruler of darkness, which is Satan, and a caller called me, you know, after the program, and they said, you know, no, I don't think that's right, because Satan does not control the world. And what I said last week, that the world is being controlled by Satan with limited powers. God is in total control of everything, but Satan is reigning right now. Let me give you an example. There's many scriptures, but what they're saying that, but God, okay, God allowed him limited power, but God is the deciding factors in all things. And when you look around this world, you see the things that are happening are the influences of the devil, evil, mistrust, greed, you know, you could go on and on. That's the things of the devil, and that's the influence he's working in. The world is conforming towards his way more than towards God. But, you know, the Bible said that the prince of the air, which is Satan, is in control right now, and God's going to set him down and take him out away in his own time. But you see, he is in control to some degree with limited powers from God. And you got to remember that. God is in total control. Trust him in his power and he will see you through. As we see the story of Michael Brown that's been on the TV for so long in Missouri, as we see it unfold on national TV, yes, God is in control, and he's even in control of that. Because even with you thinking that the evidence is there, we have seen over and over and over again plenty of times these trials come up, and, you know, they judge by a jury, and it's 12 people, and they come up with a decision. You can't understand where they're getting it from, and then you might cry out, or maybe his parents, like Trayvon Martin parents, might have said, where's the justice and where is God? You see, but it's not our will, it's God's will. We bring our petition to God and we let him have his way. You see, the Bible says, God said that vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And whatever you sow, you're going to reap. There's things already in place. Even if they get away, they're not away. And it always is injustice. You know, look what they did Jesus. So Jesus better cross alone and all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. But we have to trust God in everything he do. But God got that. You see what they say, the heart of the politicians, the heart of the mayor out there, the heart of the governor, the heart of everything. And you see, when God show up and he do what he do, because that's what he did, because he is God, that even though we don't like the outcome, we have to say thank you, Jesus, and realize that he's still in control. And even in the midst of that, he's still going to work it out together for the good. You might can't see it right now. You might don't understand it. But if God allowed it or orchestrated, you have to say it, it is well. You see, God is not dead. He's still alive, and he's working it out for our good. We must pray and let God have his way, for he is in control. God is not asleep. He sees and he knows. And even when you can't hear his voice, trust his plan. He said, I'm God. I understand. I saw what happened. He knows the heart of the police. Come on now. He knows the mind of the police. God say, vengeance is mine. And our second scripture is every way, I thought this was deep, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And some of you might say, no, not me. The Bible says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And when they say man in the Bible, you know they mean women too. They say, but the Lord ponders the heart. That's scripture. That's the scripture we're fixing to, you know, expound upon at this time, but that's the scripture. I'll read it again. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. And as my topic said, and I thought this scripture was so fitting for the topic. And what it says is, there is no right way to do wrong. You see, when a man's heart is not being led by the Spirit of God or the Word of God, plenty of times, and you've seen it happen every day. When it's not being led by God or God's Word, it seemed that man do whatever seemed right in his own eyes. You see, man has been justified. Let me say man and woman so somebody don't just think I'm talking about the men out there. You know, people, men and women, have been justifying their decisions to do whatever, whenever, however they pleases. You see, many times, people who don't know God, you know, they're making it up as they go. Y'all know anybody like that? They're making it up as they go. So, and as they make the things up with the justification in their heart and their mind, they start believing that they have the right. Let me tell you something. Only God is sovereign. which means have all power, all knowing, and everywhere at the same time, which gives him only the power and right to do as he please, when he please, how he please, because he is God. You see, man sometimes think they are self-made in some areas of their life. You see, the world uses phrases like, that's a self-made man or woman, stating that all they have, they did it on their own. You see, but when you realize the wisdom and knowledge of God, his will, his way, and his word, we realize it is not our, was not by our power, not by our might, but it was God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You know, we could never create anything, and even ourselves, because remember I told you, only God create man and then, because to create, you got to take and from nothing and make things. You know, man haven't created anything. He take the things that God created. He might put two or three together and make an invention. But only God create. You see, when we say, you know, self-made, you know, the world say that a lot of time because the person and their parents was whatever, and you know, there was an adoption, and you know, and they rose up to fame, they did well in their life, and they say that's self-made. You know, no one made themselves. You see, we have to stop thinking we are afforded the privilege to do things our way, which in most cases are wrong, and turn around and try to make it right. You see, some people think they are big and bad enough to do anything they want to do their way because they paid the cost to be the boss. Bomb, wrong answer. And I put this in here because I thought that for a long time in my life. You know, I worked hard, you know, and you know how people tell a story, you know, my mom died when I was 11. That's a true story. And, you know, we lived in a desire project, you know, and that's a true story. And you know, I had two children and, you know, I was a single parent. You know, that's a true story. And you know, you start doing that, but you're working. You're able to do a little something. You're able to at least take care of your needs, and you're able to get a little bit that you want. And then, you know, if you're not careful, you figure, you know, you got it, but you worked hard and you the boss and you paid the cost and you could do it any kind of way you want. But, again, that's wrong answer. You see, because there's no right way to do wrong. You did not create yourself, so you cannot be self-made. If any of y'all out there thinking that, and I know I didn't think I was self-made. I think I did stuff to make myself to what I was. Bump, wrong answer. God owned everything, and we are only stewards in the first place. And we'll never be big enough and bad enough to do it our way because, you know, once we accepted Christ, we became his. We, you know, ourselves and our life no longer belongs to us. As Paul said in the Bible, that he became a slave unto Christ. If we surrender all, how could we be in charge? You see, God's way is the right way. And it is spelled out for us in his word. But let me tell you this. Take this with you tonight. I want you to remember that doing the right thing and doing it in the right way cannot be adjusted or altered for your self-interest. It can't be adjusted for your belief. Oh, I believe. People tell me that all the time. No, I don't have to go to church. Church can't save you. No, it can't. But God definitely ordained the church. Read the book of Acts. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You don't go to church, you don't go to church, but you don't have to make and justify why you don't go, because what you done did is set in your mind, and you done allow Satan to come in your mind and tell you that, and he told you that so much, plus you agreed with it, and then you decide you right. You get the right to say you right because you are right. Bomb, wrong answer. You see, I'm going to read that again. You know, right cannot be adjusted or altered for your self-interest, for your beliefs, or who you are, or where you are in life. You know, I got $1 million, and $1 million don't change right into wrong. Or sometimes you just do it because it's something you want to do. You know, tell the truth and shame the devil. And if you're not paying attention, it'll subtly get on you, and you'll be doing the wrong thing and thinking you're right, or you justifying for what you're doing. But if you're going to get committed to God, you know, you need to know these things, because some of that stuff, it may be minor, and you could get that out of your life. You know, there's some things in our life that, you know, I'll give it like this. You know, we always say that the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. But there's still some things in our life that we are doing now, and some to get out is harder than others. But there are some little things in your life that you could straighten out, and it's amazing when you straighten out one little or two little things in your life, God take out 10 things you've been trying to work on. Pay attention. You see, we have a way of compromising the word of God for our pleasures, values, or desire. Let's look at some areas where people think there is a right way to do something wrong. And I'm going to use little examples, but I'm doing this so that you could get the gist and understand what I'm saying. You see, when we lie, you know how sometimes you say, I told a lie, but it was for a good, right reason. Hello. A lie is wrong, and there's no right in doing something wrong. You see, when we lie and think it's for a good reason, or we lie and they say, well, I just lied, I just said it to keep the peace, we call that a little white lie. And believe that it's all right, even though we know lying is wrong. If lying is wrong, it's wrong. It don't get right because you decided to tell it another way, or you decided that it was necessary to tell a lie, to fix something, or to keep the peace, or whatever. That's an example I wanted to use. I'm going to give you another one. And I heard this really all my life. You see, when someone is cheating on their spouse, or you could say girlfriend or whatever, they're not married, but it's cheating in a relationship, and think it's all right because they saw their parents do it. And you see, that's what happens sometimes, and that's what Satan used. You see, some of the things we grew up in and we saw, you know, happening in our home, you know, if you know, you loving on your mama, you know, and you know, could be loving on your daddy, and yet, you know they cheat, and you know they all right, and so you start saying, you know, if my mama did it, it ain't that bad, because you look at your mama as a good person, but there's no right way to do wrong, or your daddy as a right person. But a lot of times when they have, they have been cheating and they think it's right, they might think it's right because their parents did it, because sometimes people was even taught, especially boys, well, men, boys and girls, you know, some parents, you know, because of the way they live, they tell their children, you know, a wise person have a pan of spare. You know, I used to always hear the story that it's a poor rat that had one hole. So you see, some of that stuff is embedded in us so long till we start to believe it's right. I mean, some people really believe it's right, but there's no right way to do wrong. You see, and then I've heard a lot of times, you know, they'll say, you know, I have an extra relationship. I'm committing adultery. You know, they ain't going to say they commit adultery, but they have a girlfriend or whatever. And they're going to say, but, you know, I know how to do it right. You see, my girlfriend, the person that I'm, you know, with or cheating with, you know, I got it under control, and they're going to respect my spouse, and they're going to always respect my home. That's purity foolishness. Because if you're going to control them, and that's what they say, you know, well, ain't nobody disrespecting my wife. You disrespecting your wife when you're cheating, fool. But see, God has given us and tricked us up in our mind so bad till we don't be able to decipher right from wrong. Check yourself out. There's no right way to do wrong. Another one. When someone steals things from their job, and I'm talking about no matter how big or how small, you see, because the company owes them something would be their justification, you know, or they're not paid enough, so it's all right. You can't make right wrong because you want to. It's not right. You see, the job supplies or property don't belong to you. And if you take them or use them without permission for yourself, it's wrong. If it is right, why you didn't let someone see you do it? And if you shouldn't do it at all, you know, why? Okay, if it was right, why you just didn't walk out there with the people stuffing your own instead of stuffing it in a bag? And, you know, people will say, oh, that's from the job. They have money. You know, you might be working for a big corporation. But remember this, if that was your company, would you like people walking out with it? The Bible says you got to reap what you sow, and the greatest commandment that God give us is that we treat our neighbors as ourselves. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, thy mind, thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is the easiest one in the world. And if you just take that rule and take the lesson, we could have left everything out because it said, do unto others as you have them do unto you. You see up here, the person that lied don't want to be lied to. And you see the cheating man, he sure enough, the man or woman don't want nobody cheating on them. They'll hurt somebody if they found out. But yet they feel they got the right to do it because they do it right. Wrong answer. And anybody that steals from you, it is no good feeling. So how could you put up in your mind and think it's all right to take someone else's stuff, no matter how big or small? And I'm only giving these examples because I'm trying to show you it's no right way to do wrong. You see, and what you got to do is you got to watch this. Let me give you an example how you can judge it. You see, if there's anything that you would not do in front of some people or do it in some places, then you probably shouldn't do it at all. Example. You know, some people you be around. You know how the men is on the job, because I get this all the time. They be on the job and the men, you know, it's men and they shooting the breeze and working and stuff. And somebody curse. But they have a man that they represent. They see a light in and they believe he's, you know, a man of God or a woman of God. And they'll come and they say, oh, excuse me. But if you could tell that man, excuse you, because what you thought came out of your mouth wasn't right, and if you're going to just say excuse around some people, then a flag should go up, and you should know that it's wrong. If you know it's wrong. I'd be at the snowball machine when I was doing the snowball machine, and I serve young people all day long, and I was in the community, you know, for 5 days a week. So I heard, experience all kind of things. And the guys would sometimes come to the truck with their little children because, again, it snowballs. And then a friend of theirs would come up and they would curse. And they said, well, don't you see Miss Diane? You got to respect her, man. But he was standing there with his daughter and he was holding her hand. He didn't say respect my daughter. He said, respect Miss Diane, and then I had to correct him to tell him that his daughter's there, and he should want somebody to respect their daughter, but they think that's all right for any kind of talking to go on in front of their daughter because that's what they do. That's the music they let them listen to. That's the TV programs we are letting our children just look at, and yet it get to be all right. I do a lot of snowball parties. And it'd be little children parties. And the music that is playing and goes forward every, you know, I could be in a truck working and I could be in a working zone. But when that person come up and they have it playing loud as the sky, you know, some of the records are so ridiculous that I get embarrassed. And if it's a party that I'm doing and I know the people, I try to pull their coat. You know, and sometimes they correct it, sometimes they correct it for a little while and they go back. You know, it's, you know, if I go to the person, I see, you know, all these children out there, and not besides that, you know, it'd be four generations out there. So the children be there, the mama be there, the mama, mama, the mama, mom, and the mom, and all of that, their grandmother and great grandmothers and all that's out there, and that's the kind of music they want to play. But you see, they have accepted that as all right. But there's not a right way to do wrong. Let me tell you this. Character is doing what is right when no one's looking. You see, there's character and a perfume. There's personality. You see, character is doing the right thing when no one is looking. And personality is something like perfume. You put it on and you take it off when you get ready. So a lot of people is walking around and they think they have met and done and reached their goal, but they only have personality because they don't have no solid character. You have to check and evaluate yourself. You see, the scriptures let us know that man do as he pleases, but God searches the heart. You see, there is no such thing as a little truth or a little right or just a little wrong. It is either right or wrong. And let me tell y'all something. Nobody, just like my grandson said in his little talk, nobody is perfect. I'm not giving you this to say that you would be perfect. I'll tell you like this, and I say this a lot. I believe in the whole Bible, all 66 books. I believe every book, the 39 books in the Old Testament, and I believe the 27 in the New Testament. If God said it, I believed it. But in my life where I'm at right now today, I believe it, and I believe it as true, but I haven't been able to achieve it. When the word of God comes, it's just for us to use to do things better, evaluate ourselves and check ourselves. So I'm not telling you that you're going to do everything right. And I'm not telling you you do everything wrong. But I'm telling you need to know the difference. And if you decide to do something wrong, it's wrong. Don't justify it and try to make it right. You see, you can't be a little pregnant. And you can't be just a little right or wrong. Because the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. And let me tell you this. Satan knows he's in a war. You know, the war that goes on through in our body all day is the war between the flesh and the spirit. You see, the flesh is where sin dwells. And you see, Satan want to control the flesh because he can't touch the spirit. You know, I tell Satan all the time, if you didn't get me when I was out there with you, you can't get me now. Like a lot of people say, they like to do dance. They used to like to dance, and now they still dance, but they change partners. I change partners. And not that I'm perfect, and not that I do everything right. But if he couldn't get me then, when I was a willing participant, I know through God's grace he can't get me now. But I'm going to tell you what he do. He is using everything in his power, which is limited, to try to achieve his goal in this world and in your life. You see, when we allow the spirit to be compromised, when we allow our spirit to be compromised over and over again, it may begin, the things that we are compromising to may begin to look and even feel like right. But I came to tell you tonight that that's the trick of the devil. He is always trying to get you to accept his views concerning the issues of life. Satan can only play in your mind. Think about it. If Satan could kill all of us, especially while we was wilding in sin, that would have meant we would have died and went to hell, and that would have gave him joy. Satan can't take your life, but he could get you crazy enough to take your own life. Satan can only, you know, when you keep compromising over and over again and begin to look and feel right, and this is a trick to the devil, he is always trying to get you to accept his views concerning the issues of this life. Many times, not by knowing the word of God for yourself, it makes his job so much easier. You see, when Jesus was tempted by the devil after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Satan tried to make him accept his perception as what would be good for him. Talking about Jesus and how what Satan could do for him would be so good to him. You see, Jesus was hungry and weak after fasting, and Satan loved to attack us at our weakest moment. Now watch this. If Satan tempted Jesus, the Son of God, what do you think he will do with little old us? You see, so what Satan did, he tried to get Jesus to do what he wanted to do after Jesus had fasted. And you see, for each temptation he gave Jesus, Jesus gave the word of God to him. You see, the word of God becomes your strength. See, he was weak, but as he talked the word of God, that's where his strength came from. Keep getting word in you and see how strong you be. For the strength in time of weakness. You know, one of the things I'm going to state, because there were so many temptations and there were so many words of God that Jesus put back to him, but this is so familiar, this is the time that I could put you right there in a place. One of the scriptures he used to tell him when Satan told him, here, take this food, you know, because he knew Jesus was hungry. Jesus told him, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He said, that's food for the body. He said, but I got food for my soul. Every time he used the word of God, you got to remember everything in the Bible is an example for you. Jesus was tempted by the devil. Look at what he did when the devil tempted him. Use the Bible as is intended for your good. You see, and then watch this. When all of the temptations that Satan was trying to do towards Jesus, after he had received all of the temptation, Jesus had shot all of the word of God from him, Jesus received the victory by doing what was right, and immediately he received help from the Father he received the help needed by God, delivered by the angel of God. See, when you use the word of God on your situations, see, when you use the word of God when you are being tempted, see, when you use the word of when you are weak, if you use the word of God and you stand on the word of God, there would be victory, and Jesus, God, would already come. There's a scripture that says, God will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. He said, but he will always supply a way to escape. That's the scripture plenty of people, that's the scripture in the Bible, but most people say God put no more on you than you could bear, which is not in the Bible. But if you put that God put no more on you than you could bear, it's going to bring you to that scripture saying there's no temptation that is not common to man, because God will always give you a way to escape. But you see, Jesus did what was right. You know, he could have said, oh, I'm so weak. You know, I took the bread because I was hungry. You know, because I was hungry. There's no right way to do wrong. You see, Satan is a deceiver, and he tried to get you to accept his perception. And remember, he can only trick you in the boardrooms of your mind. Like I said earlier, he can only play in your mind. You got to say, Satan, you're not going to have free rein in my head. And, you know, most people say, I rebuke you, Satan. And if James 4:7 say, if you resist the devil, he has to flee. Use the word of God. Once we accept his perception as all right, yeah, guess what happens? If we accept the devil perception, and let me tell you, as the devil is putting these perceptions in our head, he's never fair. Because he keep putting them, you're not paying attention. And after so long, it might be a habit, it may be an addiction. You done did it so long, you don't even remember when it started, so you sure enough don't know who put it there. And now it's the Satan's perception, and he's working and working and working and working and working on you for you to accept it, and you compromise your spirit and you accept it. And that was his perception, and it became your reality. Now you're walking around with a perception by Satan, which is wrong, and it's your reality, so now you make it right in your mind. But remember, as I close, there's a way of man. The way of man is right in his own eyes. And believe that there is a right way to do wrong. That's our program for tonight. And I have a lot of prayer requests. I have an uncle that's in a hospital, and I'm asking y'all to pray for him. You know, God said he'll be a doctor in a sick room. You know, I also am asking for prayers for my two sons. And, you know, the Bible say, you know, how can somebody pray for you if you don't agree? And I'm saying that because I'm asking that you guys touch and agree with me in these two areas, you know, and, you know, for health, you know, with my uncle and also, you know, my two sons that's really in need of direction and really need God to come in their life and come in their heart and maybe change their ways. So I'm asking that you, you know, pray for them. And if there's any more prayer requests before we do the closing prayer, you could press the one button on the phone. For those who have never called before, I want to let you know some things. When you call in, I cannot hear anything that's going on in your house unless you press the one button, which I will open the mic and it allows for you to talk. And then that's when, you know, we could hear something is going on. And anyone who would like to make, say, a prayer, you can lead us out in prayer. You might want to comment. You might want to give words of encouragement. You may want to sing a song. You know, you may want to do anything, you know, because you got to remember this, and I tell y'all all the time, this is not Diane Adams Bible study. This is an opportunity that God has given, but not just given to me, but given to all of us. He has allowed us to come together on Wednesday night at 8:30 for a year and a half, and we are in fellowship with one another. All of y'all callers is a part of the body of Christ, and this is the format that God has given us. And it's not just my Bible study, but I pray to God that you realize that all of us is in this together. And we've got, you know, we could learn to pray for one another. You call in every Wednesday after Wednesday if you need prayer, and we all can touch and agree. There's power in numbers. So I'm asking that y'all pray for me, you know, for my sons, and, you know, pray for my husband, I mean, my uncle, and pray for my friend. I just heard that a good friend of mine, she called up one day on the program and she led us in prayer, but she's in Touro Hospital, you know. But pray for her, for the sick and the shut-in, you know, for finances, hallelujah, you know. So keep touching and agree, touching and agreeing, you know. This is Inspirational Wednesday, our Bible study on Wednesday night. So if anybody would like to make a comment, a concern, or words of encouragement, or have somebody they want to add to the prayer list, you know, at this time, you could press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mic, and you could, you know, speak the word, speak whatever you have to say. You know, if God has been good to anybody this week, you know, if God has done anything for you and you want to, you know, just say it, you know, you could press the one, and I'll open the mic. But right now it's 9:30, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer. And after I do the benediction prayer, you know, many callers stay on the phone and listen to music. So once I do the prayer, I will definitely put the music on. And, of course, you can stay on as long as you want. And if you want to say something at that time because you have a chain, you know, you want to say something, if you press the one button, I can still see the numbers and it'll still light up in the studio, and I'll press the mic and you can still speak. But let us go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for every opportunity that you put in our way, dear God. Give us the gift of discernment that we can recognize the way that you are directing us in our lives, dear God. Let us not have no missed opportunities. Let us keep ourselves in position to receive all that you have for us, dear God. Lead us, guide us, and protect us. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon Porky Jones as he lay in the hospital right now, dear God. I'm asking that you have your way with the situation, dear God. He's yours, dear God. If it's, you know, whatever your will is, because they say you're a healer, you're a mind regulator, and you're a heart fixer, and I believe you. And look down on Miss Emily. I don't know if she's in the hospital, dear God, but you do. Touch the doctors that's got to be around her, dear God, and let all of them have a desire to do the right thing towards them. You know, sometimes, Lord, this seems like, as you say it in your scripture, that people do things wrong and they justify it as being right, but it's only in their eyes, as the scripture says. Heavenly Father, have your way with that, dear God. And, Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon my sons, Michael and Ronnie, dear God, and touch their hearts, dear God, and the situations that they're in, dear God, that you work it out. And I don't mean that, you know, I'm just saying you work it out however way you want, and all I can do is say thank you, Jesus, well done. Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy on our finances, dear God. Bless these children going back to school, dear God. Help them and protect them. Don't let no harm, hurt, or danger, you know, attack them at school, dear God. Open up their minds that they could receive the lesson. Give them a desire to be obedient to their teachers, dear God. Let them have a great year and let them learn and prosper and do the things that they need to do. Let all their children, their needs be met. Look down in the hearts of the moms, dear God, and give them desire to take care of their children properly and nourish them and bring them in the right direction. Heavenly Father, I give you all the praise and the honor because you're in control and you can do what you want, when you want, and how you want because you're a sovereign God. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes, and let us say amen. Hallelujah. And I got a button that's being pressed. There's a caller whose phone number is 504-355. If you want to make a comment, you could go at this time.
504-355. Yes, this is Kathy Foxworth. And I was calling in to ask for you to pray for my auntie, my dad's aunt, my great aunt, my dad's aunt, Ermatine Cowan, and ask God to take and lift her up and get better. She's at Ochsner Hospital. She's 95 years old.
We sure will. And what's her name?
Also pray for her.
Her name is Irma.
Ermatine.
What's her name?
Ermatine. Mm-hmm.
Howard.
Coward.
Okay. All right. We'll definitely do that for Miss Ernestine. Thank you for calling, Kathy. And God bless you.
And God bless you, and I will continue to pray for you and your family, too, and your situation and your uncle as well. I hope he's doing better.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That another caller had pressed the button, and I see they have hung up. But if there's anyone else, we done did the benediction prayer. For those who are going to be hanging up now because the word is gone forth and just the music going to play, I just want you to know that God loves you and so do I. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule and coming and meet with us on Wednesday night. It is my prayer that you grow stronger and stronger in the word of God and in the knowledge of truth. We have to go stronger. We see that we are in the last times. And it is God's desire. First of all, you're only being taught that you may teach. You might not do it like me because I can't do it like you. But we have to share the word of God because Jesus is not going to come back till everybody has had an opportunity to hear the word of God. And somebody ain't going to receive it unless you say it. And I have another call of 601-831. Your mic is open. 601-831. 3-5. Your mic is open. Your one button was pressed.
6019. Yes, Ms. Diane.
Yes, Diane. We could hear you.
Okay. I'm calling in to pray for my family, my brother Gregory, and my daughter, Megan, asking you to lift them up in prayer. And I'm praying for you, too, your uncle and your son.
And that's what, thank you so much. And that's what Wednesday night is about. Can you imagine we coming together and touching a green for one another? The Bible says confess your needs to one another. And they say touch and agree and he'll be in the midst. But if we can't agree, then you just say, well, don't do it. If you're going to, let me just tell you this. Don't ever ask somebody to pray for you that you know they ain't agreeing with what you're saying. The Bible say, how can he answer unless there's agreement? That's why you have to line yourself up with the right person. That's why you got to do those things, you know. And we could touch and agree on these subjects. But right now, before I start playing the music, we got these three prayer requests. So we're going to go back and pray. And God can have his way. Dear Heavenly Father, here we come back to you for your throne of grace. We're asking for health and strength for Miss Coward, and we asking for Greg and Megan to be lifted up and to be used by you, dear God. Their family brought a request in for you to just have mercy on them. We know that your grace is sufficient. Lord, whatever the needs are, we asking that you have your way and your will be done, but you will show up and show off. In Jesus' name, amen. So is there any more prayer requests? Anything want to be said? And this is our program for the night. The music's going to go forth. I can still see the in the studio. So if any other buttons be pressed, I can get to them. And I'm going to start playing the music. But I want to tell you that I pray that God be with you until we meet again on next Wednesday. This is Inspiration, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. God loves you, and so do I. And the music will begin.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice.
Come on and say awesome.
My God.
My God.
Come on and say awesome.
Speak life over you today. Every person listening, I want you to understand that no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New breed.
It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending.
It's only the beginning.
It's only the beginning.
Along to just encourage you a little further. James Fortune.
This is for someone right now.
I know it's darkest.
Yes.
Just before dawn.
It's not easy right now.
Might be the hardest season you experience.
I've been there.
It hurts.
But it won't last.
Won't be too long.
Won't be too
because
long.
Because you are.
Closer than you think.
You may not see it yet. Come on, Israel.
Oh, look to the sky. Help is on the way.
It's not over.
It's not over.
It's not finished.
It's not finished.
It's not
the
end yet.
It's not it.
Your story's not over. This is only.
It's only the beginning.
Only the beginning.
He makes all the difference. He makes
all.
He makes all things new. Yes. With God.
All things are new. All things are new.
In the spirit, I sense something starting to move.
Something is moving.
Everything is turning around.
Your wayward sons and daughters.
It's not over.
I'm
And
we
want to
speak life over you today. Every person listening.
That was, it's not over until God says it over. Believe it and achieve it. Whatever situation you may be in, bring God into the situation. And if God is in it, it's not over until he say it's over. And that's our program tonight. And I pray that God be with each and every one of you till we meet again. God loves you, and so do I. And that's the end of our broadcast. Be blessed, and thank you.